Welcome to the Carlin and Lay Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, we've spoken recently about how COVID-19 has affected sport and football. It seems to have found a levelling now with both the AFL and the SNFL and even local football starting up.
It's certainly got underway, hasn't it? But there's a little bit of a threat at the moment because, of course, Victoria have lapsed and are getting big numbers of cases. And so they've now had to think about the rest of the season. But what are they doing, 33 games in 19 days or something like that in the AFL to try and get through?
Yeah, it's almost like they're rushing it through just in case.
Well, I guess everyone is now a bit concerned that will something similar happen in the other states. I mean, if we look around, Victoria are by far the worst, and then New South Wales are getting have had a few outbreaks, but the other states have done pretty well, including us, of course.
Yeah, and just sort of looking at football, I mean, the crowd numbers, I mean, when the Crows played Port, when they first opened it up for round two, they allowed 5,000 people into Adelaide Oval. And then when the Crows played St Kilda on the 20th of July, they're allowing 25,000 people.
It's certainly changing, isn't it? And I think over in Perth now, they're getting close to, I think they had 25,000 people at the Derby, they called it, on last game played there between West Coast and Fremantle. And even Collingwood Geelong, I think, had 22,000 people. So I guess that shows that people want to get along to the footy. And if you're getting like 22,000 to a game in Perth of two Victorian teams, that's probably shows there's a lot of interest.
Yeah, it's interesting the way the television have portrayed the games. Obviously, round one, there's no supporters at all. You're starting to watch it, and there's a little bit of normality in regards to the crowd numbers and the cheering. But I'm not sure about you, but the quality of the football seems to be a little bit behind the eight ball.
I don't know. I mean, every year it's sort of there's a discussion about football, isn't it, and like how it's being played and so on. And I mean, to be fair, I haven't watched a lot of footy this year so far. I've been travelling a little bit lately in South Australia, I must add. But I was listening to Triple M on the weekend, and there was a discussion about the standard of the footy, and Fagan, the coach, said, "No, look, I think it's pretty good. You know, like there's a bit of fade in, fade out, but he thought the quality was pretty good." So I think it is a discussion point, but I think sometimes in people's minds, what they remember isn't quite maybe what was real at the time.
The one indicator of the type of football being played, though, is the scores have been really, really low in many games. And, in fact, wasn't 5 goals a winning score the other week ago?
Well, again, I mean, it's been a disrupted time. I mean, I would imagine that when we're talking about these guys who are playing, they are good quality athletes. They're high quality athletes, aren't they? And even though the training programs would have been interrupted, we're still looking at athletes at a very high level. So I can't imagine that they're that far off in terms of their conditioning. And, of course, they're playing football at the highest level, so they are naturally skillful people.
And we have to remember a couple of things. The quarters have been slightly shortened, and there was a long layoff where they couldn't get right into their training. So, in effect, some of those early games were like trial games anyhow.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's an interesting season, isn't it? Because it was up in the air for a long time. And, of course, preparing was difficult. And then off it went. It went off into the hubs and they got going. So I guess now there's a bit of match fitness there. And normally the players get that opportunity through the pre-season games and internal trials and all that sort of stuff. So they lost that opportunity. So you normally, once we start the season up and running proper, they've had a number of games under their belt, haven't they?
Yeah, and the AFL Grand Final, they're talking about playing at a different venue for the first time since, 1990, when they played at Waverley. But it's interesting that the word will come down soon that the MCG won't be used. So where will they play it? I suppose I'll wait and see what teams are sort of up there. I mean, Port Adelaide are right up there, so Adelaide have to be a chance. Perth would be a chance. Sydney a slight chance. But Brisbane seems, Queensland seems the favourite because they seem to be hosting a lot of the games with a lot of success at the moment.
Well, it's going to be, you're going to think about, are they looking for a stadium that is going to seat the most number of people? Because you think any grand final, regardless of the situation we've got now, is going to be a sellout. And so, you know, we would be biased and think, well, Adelaide Oval, you can get like, what, 53, 54,000. But I think the Optus Stadium in Perth is bigger, isn't it?
Yeah, 70,000.
So right now they're obviously playing games over there. And I mean, apart from, I mean, none of the, like the Gabba and what's the other one up in Queensland?
On the Gold Coast, the Kalawa?
Yeah. Is that what it's still called now? Or is it Metricon or something? I don't know.
I give up on those names.
But I think they're much smaller. So I would be surprised if it's up in Queensland because I think the numbers would be, they wouldn't be happy with the numbers. So you've got to imagine, and maybe New South Wales, because they got some, like, is it the ANZ Stadium? They're a pretty big stadium. So
the Olympic Park.
Yeah, so whether, but then again, that would depend on the state of play with COVID. I mean, right now, you'd have to think, I would think, Perth and Adelaide would have to be up there for opportunity.
I think it's a perfect opportunity for the AFL to actually favour the higher team. So whoever finishes top, if it's not a Victorian-based team, maybe they get first dibs.
Well, that would be nice, wouldn't it? But I, even, again, listening to some of the stuff on the weekend, listening to the footy on the radio, there was discussion about this type of thing, and the Victorian commentators were not real pleased about it not being in Victoria. In fact, they were having a crack at Brisbane. Oh, how many games have they played at home? That's unfair. They should play anything. Hang on a minute. How many games do Victorian clubs play in Victoria in a normal season?
Oh, you have to feel sorry for Collingwood, surely.
Oh, they've got to travel for a change. Whoa. I mean, how many times did Collingwood play at MCG? I mean, it's some, like, ridiculous number. So you go,
16 out of the 22.
You think, come on, guys, you have had a bloody good run. And now let's just, it is, you guys are not in a place where people can be safe. So let the other states get their jobs done.
Yes,
we're not biased at all, though.
No, of course we're not. we'll let that unfold. But what about the SNFL now? They didn't start till about 4 weeks ago as we're talking, and they played the first two rounds solely at Adelaide Oval. They played doubleheaders on the Saturday and the Sunday. They allowed 5,000 people in the first weekend.
And they got 5,000, didn't they?
Well, a little bit less, but
it was close to that, though?
Yeah, I mean, it was probably about 3,500.
Okay.
And then on the second week, all of a sudden, well, there was 25,000.
Allowed or did turn up? What have the crowds been like?
About the same, about 3,500.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? Because I was hoping and maybe thinking that because people had been starved of being able to get to games, that they might get there in numbers. But I guess people, I mean, it's interesting. I think people are still concerned and being conservative, aren't they, about trying to be together in big groups. So, and I think that's part of why we've been pretty successful in not allowing numbers to get up there. But so it's a difficult situation, but I did sort of think that the SNFL and even local footy and stuff would get decent numbers.
I remember the first week when Central District played Sturt at Adelaide Oval and there was only 5,000. And the seating arrangements were they'd give you a ticket and you would sit three seats away from the next person and two rows across. So it's amazing that when I put my name in and I got my ticket and I thought, oh, yeah, okay, that's okay. So I picked this ticket. I sit there and lo and behold, this guy comes along and he sits three seats away from me and he's the same guy that stands two people away from me at the football anyhow.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't believe it. It was incredible.
Yeah, that is interesting. And I was seeing on the news that with the Adelaide St Kilda game at Adelaide Oval, they said they're setting like one person and four seats around them have to be empty.
Yeah.
So two in front. No, is that right?
Oh, families can sit together.
Yeah, but I was trying to work out because they said it was like a checkerboard. And when they explained it, it didn't quite make sense. But it was almost like two seats in front, two behind, and two one either side would be would be no one sitting in. I'm trying to work out. That's a pretty complicated way of sitting people, but I guess some mathematicians probably come up with some equation and it's working.
Yeah, I know. It's craziness. But, you know, the funny thing is, like I said, the first two rounds at Allied Oval for the SNFL, there was 5,000 per day and then 25,000 per day. Then round three and four was at Suburban Grounds. And all of a sudden, they said only 1,000 people.
Is that because of space? Like, you know, like initially they were saying like they worked out numbers of people in a certain building based on its size. So do you imagine, you know, like if you're at Adelaide Oval, you've got a lot of space and lots of seats. So is it based on maybe seating capacity?
I can't work anything about some like you were talking about the checkerboard philosophy and all this. I hear so many different stories and so many analysis of the situation that I'm just confused.
Well, you know, it's not it's probably a normal way you live, isn't it? Confused, is it?
Only when I'm with you, mate.
I know for a fact that's how I am. I was looking up some numbers, and I think if my figures are correct, so far, this is interesting, like so far this year in AFL, the actual full crowd numbers are 87,216. Now, if you think just the weekend gone, that would be a big chunk of that because there was a 22,000, 25,000 seat. But, of course, many games have been played with no spectators in Victoria.
Yep.
And the games that were played in Adelaide early on were small numbers, as you already said. And up in Brisbane, they did have 10,000 to the Brisbane Port game and I think 7,000 to the Brisbane Adelaide game. So 87,000, if that's like that's around the mark, I think currently it could be out a bit, but you think that would normally be one game.
The grand final.
Yeah,
yeah.
Or more, but you think, wow, that is, it just shows how the impact it's had and therefore you think financially loss of revenue is, it really sort of puts that into perspective.
One of the things I noticed when I went to Adelaide Oval is the price of food, et cetera, it was sky high. But now I hear they're lowering it for the AFL games now. And I'm thinking they obviously learnt their lesson that they put all the prices up to recoup losses and no one bought anything.
No, I mean, there's already people complaining that, I mean, and they're right, because all these stadiums now charge so much for you and have a beer and some chips or a pie and you're probably $25 out of pocket. So, yeah, there was already complaints about it, and you think putting it up further is not really going to help, is it?
No, they definitely made a wrong move then.
I know in Perth they had a special on where they reduced the cost. I don't know what it was down to, but for a pie and beer. So they were certainly advertising that last week ahead of the games over there.
Well, on the SNFL side of things, the football budget, which has been going since 1914, so that's 106 years, mate.
That's a long time.
Now, they...
You're telling me bad news about the football budget.
Well, what happened, because of the restrictions, what they did for the first 2 weeks is they did a digital copy of the football budget where people could buy a subscription. Now, I purchased one. It was $39 for the season, and I know other people did. I encouraged others, you know, to try and keep it alive, but they did not reach the target audience that they wanted. They did not get the numbers. So after two rounds, they made a statement. They put out one footy budget, which covers the whole season, which has all the teams listed with their numbers and names, et cetera. And they've cancelled the footy budget for this season. They may do one for the grand final, and they'll review it for next year. I'm shocked. I mean, I've worked for them for 20 years.
Yeah, you've been a big contributor.
So I'm sort of a little bit disappointed. I mean, it's not the money. It's just what it is, the history of the SNFL.
Exactly. Do you think that might just be for this year? I can't say that I go to the footy that much, but like the footy budget seems something that you want to touch and hold and write things in, and you know, you've got your teams and you put your results in as you go and all that sort of stuff. It doesn't seem to strike me as the type of thing that people will look at on it digitally. Because what are you going to do? I'm going to take my, I guess I'm, everyone's going to have their phone, but I mean, us older guys like me, I struggle to see things on my phone. I'll probably have to take my iPad and look at it.
Yeah, well, I found it a little bit frustrating because there was a lot of new players for Central's the first week and I couldn't look up on my phone. It was just too hard, even though I had it. When I got home, I could look at it on the computer, but I struggled with it on my phone. But I suppose the younger generation wouldn't have that problem.
No, and I think that's the thing now, isn't it? Like, as generations change and the demographics of who's going to the footy change, then things become more and more digital, more online, and of course us old dinosaurs that are used to different things get a bit frustrated and upset.
No, well, I suppose that ends the conversation for now, Sean. We have to take it up again perhaps next week. So ends another Carlin Lowe Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
Sean Carlin.